12th November 1949. Pilgrimage to Tiruchuli. When I came back here after a 2 week stay with you in Madras, I found that the condition of Bhagavan's body had changed a good deal for the worse. With a view to give him some rest, no one was allowed to remain in his presence except during the time of the Veda Parayana. I could not therefore write to you about the questions of devotees and the replies of Bhagavan, as they have become rare. As I was troubled over that, I began going through my old papers when I found the notes I had taken about incidents that happened in Bhagavan's presence and the remarks made by Bhagavan from time to time. The notes were written before I began writing these letters to you. I'm therefore copying the notes and sending them on to you. You have already heard of the installation of the photos of Bhagavan and his parents in Sundara Mandiram in Tiruchuli, where Bhagavan was born. That was done sometime in July or June 1944, when, with the help of devotees, the building was acquired and taken possession of by the ashram authorities. With the view of repairing the house, the Sarvadhikari started with some devotees on the 17th of January 1945 for Tiruchuli. Before he actually left, he invited us all to accompany him, saying that there would be several travel facilities for the occasion. Alamelu Amma, Bhagavan's sister, and some other women and men also went. Though I was unwilling to leave Bhagavan's presence, who is to me the personification of God, I was prevailed upon to go with them. As we were about 20 devotees for this journey, it was interesting in its own way. To go to Tiruchuli, one has to get down at Madurai and go by bus for about 30 miles via Arupukote. You know, there's a train from Tiruvannamalai station overnight that goes to Madurai. They stopped it for many years, but I heard it stopped. It started up again.
That was before the Katpadi line was started,
no,
right?
No, but they did some, they changed, you know, from the to the broad gauge
to the narrow gauge.
And they were doing that, and they stopped it for many years or something, but now I heard it's going again. You know, you can go faster by car, but it's convenient. You take it at night, overnight, in the morning, you're there.
In Madurai.
Madurai, yeah. Done it. As the Saravakari had some work to do at Madurai, we had to halt there for 2 days. We were put up in the house of Krishnamurti Iyer. That's N.R. Krishnamurti Iyer, the professor. At night, all of us who came with the Sarvadhikari offered worship at the Manakshi temple and also saw the idols of the 63 saints before whom Bhagavan, in his boyhood, overwhelmed with devotion, used to stand frequently with eyes full of tears. The next morning, some of us went to the temple of Perumal Vishnu, where in the three stories of the building, Lord Varadaraja reigned in three different poses, and we offered worship. Yeah, I went to that one also. You gotta walk up three stories, sort of a tall building. We began inquiring about the holy house where Bhagavan attained jnana, knowledge of the self. A devotee of Bhagavan and his boyhood friend joined us and took us that evening to the house, number 11, in Chokanatha Street, on the western side. Kalindi, a bunch of us went there in 2016, right?
Yes.
I also went this year.
Oh, okay.
But there was like, what, seven of us?
Yes. Jean-Luc, Rita. Jean-Luc, I think, and Rita, Gita.
And Monica.
Yes.
Kumar Raja.
Yes.
And Nataraman,
yes.
His wife.
Yes.
And then the Charanjeev, he joined us. Charanjeev, when we went to Ramanathpur.
Yeah, yeah.
And he came back to Madurai with us.
Yeah. Yes.
And we spent it. We entered that old house and went into the upstairs room, which was by the side of the staircase. You know, they leveled that house completely.
Mm.
Then they built it up like it was. Sort of, but they added those back rooms.
Mm.
But they put the where Bhagavan had his death experience. You know, the room is the same place, same dimensions and everything. The space is the same, if you want to call it that, but the, you know, the building. And they found the walls were 3 feet wide. The walls were 3 feet wide, so they reduced it 1.5 feet on each side, and they got 3 feet more width of the whole building. Mm-hmm. And you see how narrow the building is already,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
3 feet thick.
Mm-hmm.
That's about like
these
walls.
Yeah. So why did they tear it down?
Just because it was in bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a few hundred years old. This is the room where Bhagavan realized his self, said the people there. They also pointed out the place where he sat at 11 o'clock in the morning of the day he left Madurai, where he had to write an imposition.
A what?
Imposition. He had to, he was punished by his teacher, had to write out from that grammar book.
Oh. Okay.
20 times this one rule, this was, you know. He had to write an imposition from Bain's grammar given to him as a punishment by the teacher, and where Bhagavan got immersed in meditation. My heart was filled with devotion, my eyes with tears, and my voice got choked. I was in a state where I could not know whether it was grief or happiness that overcame me. In the 11th verse of the supplement to the 40 verses on reality, Bhagavan had written as under, who is born? Know that he alone is born who, inquiring whence am I born, is born in the source of his being. The supreme sage is eternally born, again and again, day after day. As Sri Ramana was born in the way described above for the welfare of the world, how holy and blessed that place must be. It is from this small house that Bhagavan started renouncing everything. After leaving in the Amara by his side a note which he wrote after a hearty meal and sitting in an easy chair. The provocation was a remark made by his elder brother, which was by the way of a reprimand, saying, why all these things, writing and study, when a person is like this, sit still. Bhagavan was at the time deeply immersed in meditation. It looked as if Lord Arunachala did not wish him to remain for more than 6 weeks in the place where he attained jnana. Lord Buddha attained jnana after living in a forest for 6 years and doing penance day and night. It is that place which is known as Buddha Gaya and is now a place of pilgrimage. In the case of Ramana Bhagavan, however, he attained jnana without any effort in an ordinary house in a narrow lane in the center of a city and in a small room surrounded by his relatives. How strange. I was grieved to find such a holy place remaining unknown. Though it was here that Bhagavan changed from a young boy into Atmananda Ramana, a Ramana who enjoys the bliss of self-knowledge. The place wherefrom he started with the Brahmastram, known as Who Am I, to go to Arunachala and vanquish the myth about the greatness of pundits who go on arguing but have no practical experience. However, I felt confident that, with Bhagavan's grace, this place also would become a place of pilgrimage, like the Sundaram Mandiram in Tiruchuli. I prostrated with devotion in the room, went on to the terrace in the side, and went down the staircase. There I met an old woman. Her name is Subha Amma, age 75. She told us that she was there in the same street when Bhagavan went away on his travels and told us some stories about his boyhood. We took leave of her and in due course came back to our lodgings. The next morning we started by bus, passed through Arupakote, and as we were approaching Tiruchuli, we first saw the Gopuram of the temple of Bhuminatheshwara. After passing by the temple and its compound wall, we reached Sundara Mandiram, where the bus stopped. We all got down, entered the house where Bhagavan was born, and on seeing the picture of Sri Ramana seated in Padmasana pose in between the pictures of his parents, we prostrated before it with emotions of great joy. We and the people that had come to see us, numbering about 40, had our meals in that house. Several others who came later, while we were taking rest, began saying that the house used to be full like that during the days of Sundara Iyer. Sundaram Iyer. During the 3 days that we were there, we bathed in the Kondinya River. I don't know if that's possible anymore. There's no water there. Had the darshan of Kalishwara, worshipped Bhuminatha with his consort. What month is this? This is November, maybe. Yeah, maybe water there in November. With his consort, Sahayavali, went round the Pralaya Rudra, prostrated before Bhairavi, and saw all those places where Bhagavan had spent his boyhood days. Subsequently, among those who came from Tiruvannamalai, some went to Rameshwaram on pilgrimage. The Sarvadhikari, with his associates, stayed back on account of some work. And I alone either stayed there nor went to Rameshwaram, but came to Madurai by the night of the 22nd, started again the next day, and so reached the lotus feet of Bhagavan. Even before I came, people here came to know about the house in the Chokanatha street through a letter written by Krishnamurti Iyer. All the devotees inquired about it and were pleased on hearing the details from me. It is only after that that the ashram purchased the house with the financial help of the Vanaparthi Raja. I heard that he bought it, and on the deed, he just put the name Ramana Maharshi, Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi. Mm. Yeah, he bought it.
We also walked up to that school.
What?
We walked up to the school as well, right?
You mean the American Mission High School?
I think from Bhuminatha.
The school where he... Yeah, we went to. It's all different now, yeah. In Tiruchuli. This year, I went to the American Mission High School where he went to high school, where he's attending school when he had his death experience.
Oh, okay.
In Madurai. But if you look at the sage of Arunachala, you can see how that school used to look in the 80s. And, even before that. Okay. The joy I felt when I related the details of my journey was beyond description, even much greater than what I felt when I actually saw them. What is more, Bhagavan, while inquiring whether I had seen this or that place, told me a number of events about his boyhood. I noted down some of them as they were not in the biography. I shall write to you about them in another letter.